Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. I'm pretty exhausted, so we're going to have a chill show. I've been shopping all day, making sure everything was fine in terms of reserves. Lots of stuff I had to buy, so I was running around the town, and it was hot. It's getting hot here. How are you guys doing on the regular chat? I realized that I had not publicized the link to the Twitter broadcast. Twitter broadcast are starting. And now I understand what's happening with Twitter broadcast. I thought that it was available before, but the fact is it was available only to a select few. They had given access to this. The old Twitter administration was giving access to this only to big media and that kind of stuff. So that's why I suddenly saw it appear in my menu. It's because now Elon is giving it to the capacity to stream to any person with a verified checkmark, that is someone who subscribes to Twitter Blue. Georgie says, how many children do you have? How many of them do you have contact with? How many ex-wives? How many baby mothers? I do not give answer to these questions. Unfortunately, my job makes it so that any providing of detail of that kind leads to harassment, to problems, and I've been so happy in the life I set up without harassment. And so I will just never answer this question. That being said, since I am an advocate of high-level breathing, I will tell you that I am above replacement rate. And if you understand evolution, you know what that means. I am more than double above the replacement rate. Chuck Garrity says, there's a disturbing story of a madman shooting people while riding a scooter in NYC. One victim was an 87-year-old white man. Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. I've seen the video. I have it in my news item. It makes me think, every time there's random killings of that sort, I think of Scrooged, the movie with Bill Murray. Scrooge, where he starts and he makes this ad for his Christmas special on TV, and he's like a TV executive, and like, people come up with their ads and they all suck. It's all Christmassy. And the guy, the CEO, the TV executive comes in with his own ad and he says, this is what I had in mind. And it starts with a nuclear explosion. And then he says, the loss of morals, random highway killings. And then there's a kind of criminal who shows up randomly at a car, gets a shotgun out, and kills someone else. And then the narration voice says, the values of Christmas have never been more important than today. Your life might just depend on it. And there's a nuclear explosion. I think whenever I hear about random killings of the kind we've seen in NYC, I think of Scrooge and his random highway killing line. One of the most hilarious lines in the history of cinema. But yeah, we're talking about a black guy on a scooter just driving around town and just shooting random people. It's not like one of these shootings where it's at a single point. Where, okay, you know, people hear the first gunshot, they can flee. The guy is just driving around and, poof, kills someone. Goes elsewhere, poof, shoots someone else. We had three people injured and one dead. The dead person, I saw it. I mean, the guy is just walking randomly on the side of the street. And he feels a bullet inside of him all of a sudden. He's confused. Where does it come from? What just happened? And he falls to the ground. This is absolutely shocking, but it's not surprising, unfortunately. We knew we were headed toward increase of random crimes. We have built a society that foments this kind of crime. We have not cared about our demographics. We have not cared about punishing crime. And we have not cared about punishing for a long time, for a long enough time that you would have a eugenic effect against criminality. So we have to be headed toward a world of more criminality since we prosecute less that type of crime. And as Chuck Garrity says, meanwhile, Daniel Penny will get far more prosecuted. Yes, that is a problem. Amazing sight on talking about New York. On Times Square, Nick Fuentes and the Fresh and Fit podcast are somehow displayed on there. So I don't think you hear an audio when that happens, but it's kind of a publicity. It's really vanity. I mean, how much money did they pay to get this here? Whoever paid this? It's like, oh, okay, you buy an ad on Times Square. I think it's a matter of vanity, and it's more like creating an event around your podcast. I don't think it's actually about getting listeners, but it's about just bragging that you've bought an ad on Times Square. Gray says, it's apparently quite cheap to do, only $200 or so. Are you kidding me? $200? I thought it was much more. I thought it would be much more. But if that's $200, then that's a well-invested $200 because it's just so much memes. Like Nick Fuentes has his face on a New York City mega billboard. That is quite amazing. I'm very happy about this. I don't think there's anything bad about it. World's smallest bike. Absolutely shocking to see that this guy can operate this bike. I mean, look at this. That is ridiculous. Not practical at all, but it's a skill to be doing this. So here we have the deranged gunman on scooter randomly shoots people in NYC. A deranged 25-year-old Hispanic male indiscriminately... Oh, I said he was black. I thought he had, from looking at the video, I thought he had quite a dark tan, but they call him an Hispanic male. Shot four people, killing one while casually motoring around New York City on a scooter. Police say the suspect was experiencing a mental health crisis. Typical of some kind of schizophrenia combined with a drive for violence, combined with availability of guns. That is just what it leads to. Here's some video that we had. So the guy was captured by the police after 12 minutes, apparently, of succeeding at shooting people at various locations. See, he just passes beside a unwitting man who was just walking around. The guy gets shot. Look at this. Now, I believe that this is someone who was shot who survived because they say that the person who died is an 87-year-old. Imagine you're just walking on the street, bothering no one, and you suddenly have a bullet in your head. Or, I mean, it must have been in the upper part of the body, if I trust what I see. Here we have, I believe, the man who probably died from the incident. Let's have a look at it. So it's this man who's walking here in the direction of the camera. And look at this, a bullet straight in the heart. The guy suddenly feels that something happened with his chest. He doesn't realize he just got shot. And look at the bleeding, immediate bleeding all over his shirt. And it seems that eventually he died from this shooting. Absolutely shocking. And we don't have a serious way to handle, especially in New York, in places like New York, we don't handle these problems seriously. He might actually get away with it with an excuse around mental health or that kind of stuff. They could put him on meds, and then in 5 years, 10 years from now, they start arguing, well, he's been stable on meds. And so he could get away relatively quick. I don't think it should be that way. I think mental health issues should not be an excuse for withdrawing you from your criminal responsibilities. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, one thing interesting about the Nick J. Fuentes on Fresh and Fit show was that they did go to a discussion about racial differences at a genetic level. The panel just resorted to denial and yelling at Nick. I think you would have been better to consult on this topic. They also seem to fully believe in Wakanda type things. Well, yes, the panel, of course, was a bunch of random black women. So what do you expect? They're going to be normie brainwashed. So I wasn't shocked that this is what they would say. I mean, they had these delusions around black people have done everything, and everything you have right now in society is because of black people. They've really been ingesting uncritically the kind of propaganda that they've built, you know, these ideas that black people have invented, like, the light and that kind of stuff. They actually think that the whole of society was built by black people, which is ridiculous. I mean, they try to get these single examples of black people contributing, and then they try to attribute the whole evolution of a field to, oh yeah, well, you know, the assistant of this white guy was a black guy. And then suddenly this guy is responsible for the whole electrification of a city, you know? No, that is not how you attribute fair causal inferences as to did black people cause this to exist. If you want to know what black people cause into existence in terms of civilization, you take a plane ticket to Ethiopia and you come back and tell me. And as far as the genetic discussion, of course, it was a mainstream. And Nick doesn't tend to go in the details. Nick tends to do basically an appeal to authority saying, well, you know, scientists have discussed this and they pretty much would tell you that it's genetic. So it's a way. I mean, it's not the way I would interact, because my job is to bring science into the public conversation. But for a guy like Nick, who's mostly a political guy who has no ambition of being a scientist, that's totally fine what he did. Basically, you know, it's not like we're going to redo on Fresh and Fit the whole epistemology of why, yes, it's probably genes. But it's something that I could bring if they eventually invite me. Silver Spider says, hey, JF, peanut butter is very important to the existence of civilization. Yeah, I mean, it's very important to understand multiple causes and how multiple causes in physics is not the same as giving credit in the cultural, human, social world. When we give credit in the cultural, human, social world, we are looking for the one factor that, if not there, would have been very hard to replace. The thing, the product or the cause wouldn't have emerged on its own in other circumstances. And that's white people. That's white people for the development of Europe. But yeah, peanut butter. Like, okay, you remove peanut butter, suddenly people don't have all the calories they need. Society crumbles. Well, the thing is, if you actually removed peanut butter, people would eat other things, you know? So yes, peanut butter has been part of the chains of physical causes, but under no analysis is it an interesting way to approach causality of the state of civilization. Lindald Guntram says, get yourself invited on Fresh and Fit, JF. Would that not be fun? We should go like full normie fun time from time to time, once a year. I'll have cycles in my life where I do this. Let me tell you that Mama JF having left the home, I have a lot of things on my shoulders. I have 24/7 responsibilities, if you know what I'm saying. And so it's not the right time right now to be expensive in terms of traveling, to be going to places. I need to stay on my farm. I need to care for everything that matters here. But in a couple of years, definitely we could have another cycle. So right now, because of these events in my life, I have to be continuing to grow and grow in the virtual world because I'm stuck here. I have to be here. There's no movements. And in 5-6 years from now, we can do another cycle of soliciting non-virtual attention, this kind of plane traveling and IRL podcast, that kind of stuff. Aquanote sends a super chat. He says, the black woman showing displays of affection to Nick Fuentes after he said the things he said on that show is a comprehensive primer from A to Z on female behavior. Absolutely. It was good to see it, and it was good to see that because it was a Rumble show, the Rumble chat was calling them out. So the Rumble chat was very much aware that, you know, okay, we're getting bullshitted here. These women have no idea what they're talking about. And there they are saying, it's the culture, it's this. They have no clue. They have zero clue. They just feel things. Go Away says, JF, a few streams ago, I recommended you watch the film Gone Girl, and you mistakenly thought it was directed by David Lynch, but it is actually directed by your second favorite director, David Fincher. Ah, David Lynch, David Fincher. Ah, okay, I must have mistaken the two. Well, then, David Fincher, that could be interesting. Gone Girl, let me take a note on this. Gone Girl. David Fincher. With his wife's disappearance having become the focus of intense media circus, with Ben Affleck, with Neil Patrick Harris, Dr. Doogie, are you kidding me? A man sees the spotlight turned on him when it's suspected that he may not be innocent. Okay. I think I saw this with Ben Affleck. This tells me something. But I don't think I paid much attention. I'm going to give it a try. Ben Affleck, Neil Patrick Harris. Holy shit. I am cringing every time it's about Neil Patrick Harris. Because Neil Patrick Harris' performance in Matrix 4, holy shit, that was annoying. Holy shit, that was like... No, that didn't feel right at all. This kind of megalomaniac psychologist, architect of the Matrix, blue pill handler, basically, of Neo. but I liked him, but it was so overdone. It was so, like, see, I control you in slow motion. And here I can move faster. Now, every time I see his face, I'm traumatized. Shrink Mamel says, JF, when do you think hoflation ends? I see men who I perceive to be a 6 or 7 going with women who are a 2 or 3. I believe that hoflation never ends, not in our lifetime. Hoflation can end in a context where males become rare. And so imagine a big war, like not a technological war with nuclear missiles and that kind of stuff, but imagine a foot war where a lot of soldiers go to the front line to die, and imagine that they would, like, imagine that we wouldn't draft women, of course. Not super hard to imagine, but, you know, we're gonna next war, we're gonna have to seriously ask, hey, wasn't it an equal society? What's this thing about drafting males? So you would have an intergenerational time lapse where, say, the 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds have been killed at the front line. Then you would get the effect on the dating scene in the next 20 years, which would be rarity of males. And if there's a rarity of males, then... The thing is, that is not in itself fixing hoflation, because hoflation keeps going here. It's just that you have two directions. Either hoflation could disappear, which is, okay, we get back to a situation where women want their man and they want a man of equal quality and they're not deluded about what their worth is. But you can have a totally different direction, which is, oh, male are rarer. We're going to go even more polygamous, even more promiscuity. Now you're going to get a single 10 out of 10 woman rotating about 50 males and being inseminated potentially for babies by 50 males. That can also be the effect of male rarity. So what you need is a combination of two things. You need male rarity in the first place, and then you need a male iron fist onto the political power structure that leads them to combat hoflation through public policy. I don't see these two circumstances developing in my life. So we're going to need to have a regression, a massive regression of society before anything like this shows up. Because we're talking about, we think of a situation that would strip political power from females in Western civilization. I mean, you need cycles of war. You would need a ground invasion of Canada, US, Western Europe. You would need generations of women getting raped by foreigners or raped by invaders, army invaders, where they would say, all right, we fucked it up enough. I'm tired of getting raped. Let's give back power to white men. So, I mean, I don't see it happening in 100 years, but it could happen at some point in the future. You just have to have enough waves of rape that the females eventually are like, all right, either I give up my political power to the white man and I ask him to secure an area for me, or I'm just going to get raped until I'm 60 years old every day. That is what we need. So it's like, Don't be annoyed at my commentary on females if you don't understand this 100-year plan. Like, whenever I talk against white women and I say we have to leverage power by going toward the Asian woman, it's life is too easy for white women right now. And it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. It's too bad, but it's the only thing we can do. So don't hit the player. You know, don't hate the player, hate the game. I'm telling you what we should do as players. We should let a lot of this stuff happen. Cloud Warmer says, JF, I kind of missed the whole JFG lore as to why Mama JF left. All I saw was you say she did things that are not correct to do. Are you willing to give a QRD for me? I have checked my logs and I have sent you many library coins, which per a previous super chat will be worth 20 trillion USD in 2030. I mean, you've not necessarily missed anything because I've said the day she's gone, the day I announced it, I said I would not comment on anything because I don't want to get into the whole she did this and then she comes out publicly and she says he did that. It's not worth it. She left on good terms and in a honorable fashion and not trying to ruin my life in any way. So the only thing I've said, so it's very easy for me to summarize, the only thing I will say is this was not my choice because I truly believe in loyalty for life, in marriage, for better or worse. Women don't believe this, so you're going to have to deal with this. And other than this, I have nothing to hide. Firestarter says, this is a no-internet drama space. Well, we do drama sometimes, but I don't try to steer drama that is unnecessary, and that would be strategically ill-advised. I mean, for the first time in my life, basically, someone leaves me honorably, not making false statements about me, not trying to destroy me financially, not trying to destroy my family. So what do you want me to complain about? It's too bad because I don't impose any demand on the everyday life other than respect and just, you know, health and having an environment that is okay. So I'm not a demanding guy. And I wish that we had this structure, marriage, in society where people understand that they are bound together by children and that the best interest of the children is that they stay together to raise them together. That is very simple to my brain, but it's not. Females don't give a shit. So what do you want? We're going to have to deal with these females leaving us forever until what I described happens. The battle for rare earths and critical minerals heats up. This seemed like one of the longest short weeks that I can remember. Okay, what is it? The week started with China imposing export restrictions on crucial raw materials. The week ended with the Defense Department invoking the Defense Production Act to help collect and even more crucially refine the materials in question. Yeah, so I'm totally for China to be increasing the pressure on the U.S., the U.S. has enriched itself by monopolizing access to resources, sometimes in a very colonial manner. So if China has some resources that are necessary to the U.S. economy, well, they should go ahead and use it to the maximum and use leverage in the same way the U.S. has been doing forever. James says, no, JF misunderstands. It's not about numbers. Fertility went way up right after World War II because men acted like men and caused women to become more feminine. Criticizing women does nothing. Focus on male behavior is how you fix civilization. You don't blame your car if it stops working. Well, this, I've had forms of this told to me for years now, and I'm very annoyed by this. I fully disagree. This whole conception that, oh, it is men's responsibility, men have to act manly. There's no way to act manly against these brain-broken, delusional, insane women. You're not going to farm them back into decency. And like, sorry to say that to you, James, but you've not been you're preaching something that you've not been succeeding at. It's like your girlfriends are leaving you just like my girlfriends are leaving me, and everyone's girlfriend is leaving them. So it's like, well, we have to be more masculine. No. What happened after World War II is that males were less available, and so they didn't have to do much to convert their females toward more solid behavior, solid marriage behavior. They had leverage. If you don't have leverage, doesn't matter how masculine you act, you're gonna get Me Too'd, by the way. We're actually going to go to Jonah Hill's story right after this video. Jonah Hill is an example of someone who, if he had done what he's done after World War II in a rare male environment, he wouldn't be in trouble. But now he's trending on Twitter as an abuser among the leftist Twitterates for merely having standards on his girlfriend, basically. Cloud Warmer says, JF, have you heard of a project called Petals? It is at petals.ml. Run 100 billion plus language models at home, BitTorrent style. I've been investigating running it here at home, but I've only got one NVIDIA GPU, and it's used in a machine, and it wouldn't run on my spare AMD GPUs. Interesting projects. Okay, I'll check it out. Is it something you can use, or are you just contributing to a community, to a kind of communistic pool? I'll have to check it out. Here, I will bookmark this link and I'll check it out. This is quite impressive. Hair dropping these gigantic military vehicles. Look at this. I mean, they are centimeters away from the truck. This guy, if a strap happened to be misplaced, I mean, he could get dragged down. That is quite dangerous. And I don't know what happens with the truck. Is there some kind of parachute that deploys? Dan Simmons says, yeah, it's a huge parachute. Is it a single parachute for all the trucks? Are they tied in a line like this, or is it like a spider web that's holding all of the trucks? I have no clue, but that's quite impressive that even a parachute would sustain these enormous weights and bring them to the floor, to the ground. That is absolutely fascinating to me. Go away says more NATO propaganda. Yeah, on the other hand, we have to be careful. We're going to see a lot of images that are meant to present the military life as cool and innovative, and it's all propaganda meant to make you go to a ground war against Russia willingly. Landolt Guntram says there should be one, but ever more often those parachutes fail to deploy, and then the cargo goes boom, raining cars literally, feminization delivers. Okay. I don't know about the end of the comment. Are these female military personnel that are dropping these trucks? But anyways, it's interesting to imagine these trucks exploding in the air. Let's talk about Jonah Hill, who is trending on Twitter following the publication of so-called abusive behavior by his ex-girlfriend, Sarah Brady, accusing the actor of emotional abuse. And I had a hard time finding all of the evidence because people are sometimes sharing one screenshot, sometimes another. So I got everything I could find, and we're going to have a look through it. And this is the whole current trend of feminism, which seeks to define any sort of requirements by men to be abusive. But it never happens when it's a female requirement. Notice you will never hear the feminists say, you know, when a female dismiss a guy because he's too short, when she has a deal breaker height at 6 foot, at 6 feet, no one will ever say this is abuse. But you're asking a man to change what he can't change. You're asking a man to change something he's born with. So how is this not abuse? Well, it's a female doing it. Now, if a male says, I have standards about who my girlfriend will be, and you can totally, you are free to not respect those standards, but then you're not going to be my girlfriend. Feminists want to frame this whole thing as extortion. Now, there is a very special way in which you can understand the world where this is extortion, having standards. But the problem is that would also make you going to buy a Big Mac extortion. It would make you trying to deal a car for a lower price extortion. It would mean that the car salesman who says, well, you know, if you pay that much, I can't give you the AC on the car. He would be doing extortion also. If any standard to a consensual relationship cannot be negotiated through human speech, then everything is extortion. Every single contract that were ever signed in the history of men. Jonah Hill's ex-girlfriend Sarah Brady accuses actor of emotional abuse. So here's the first segment of private discussion happening in December 2021. Jonah Hill was saying, plain and simple, if you need surfing with men, boundaryless inappropriate friendships with men, modeling, to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures or friendships with women who are in unstable places and from your wild recent past, beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful, I am not the right partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it, and there will be no hard feelings. These are my boundaries for romantic partnership. My boundaries with you based on the ways these actions have hurt our trust. I know these words. And to anyone who takes this message in isolation and judges Jonah Hill based on this in isolation, as if he had dropped this message out of nowhere, you don't understand woman. This is the kind of message. Let's read again the end. This is so key. My boundaries with you based on the ways these actions have hurt our trust. This is a woman who has been again and again bragging to Jonah Hill that she was getting to spend the night taking drugs, drinking alcohol with other men, and was spending the night with them. And perhaps she even said to him, that she fucked these other men, that she had sex with them. This is the result of Jonah Hill being subjected to emotional abuse and jealousy-inducing behavior and manipulation and I'm a free female type of behavior, you can't say anything about it, for months and months and months. And eventually the guy gets tired and lists it. Now, once you get to the point of the list like this, she's been doing it again and again. And you've been warning her. You said, this is bothering me. This is not proper behavior in our relationship. Would you like to leave? Would you like us to break up? Because if you want to break up, we can. But I cannot accept this behavior. Are you willing to change this behavior? And again, she's had these psychotic, bipolar behavior toward him and this kind of manipulation of his inside to induce jealousy. And every time when they had this discussion, she would say to him, yes, okay, oh, that bothers you? I'll fix it. I want to stay with you, Jonah Hill. I love you. I don't want us to break out. So you're saying that it's annoying when I do this? I'll stop doing it. And then she would go and do it again, which is why Jonah Hill now has to put it in writing. And he has to, because basically he's in front of a brain that displays something, but that doesn't seem to integrate it and understand it. He's in front of, this person will tell me that she stops, but then she'll do it again 3 days later. Well, you are in front of the female brain, a brain that is absolutely incapable of processing the idea of commitment, contracts, and honor. Simply incapable. So the only thing that they can perceive, the female brain, is the proximal structure of the punishment reward structure of the world. So basically, like a rat in a maze, there's an electrical shock to the left, there's something good to the right, and that's what drives them. And the only way you'll get a female to act honorably or to follow what her male wants her to be is by having so much control over these punishment and rewards that she cannot effectively get out to these nights where she takes drugs and betrays you. Now, once you acquire that, why do feminists take issue with us acquiring that level of control? It's because they know that it's the only way to keep a female loyal. Females don't respect rings, marriages, contracts, promises, stated engagements. None of this. So the feminists are at the last stand of female loyalty. They want to deprive Jonah Hill of his right to construct a structure, a maze of proper reward and incentives so that his female can act in the right way that will please him, the right way in which he will be content with this relationship. Anything else that is imposing a relationship that Jonah Hill is not content of is raping this man. It is making him believe that the state of relationship is A, when in fact it is B. And the B comes with a lot of trouble induced by this insane woman. So let's have a look at some of the other... let's have a look at some of the other content to see what would it be that makes him so abusive. He made her take down this picture. Well, okay, here's a picture. Sarah Brady reviving a pic that I took down by request of a misogynist narcissist. So here's a picture where she shows the inside of her boob in front of cactuses. Don't take this in isolation. In isolation, this picture could be a professional performance picture that she's entitled to pursue in a relationship where it's okay. And in a relationship where she's not driving jealousy reactions intentionally into Jonah Hill's head. But that's not the relationship we're in. It's not the relationship where, oh, I'm with this 25-year-old model and I fully accept that she's a model. And that will mean revealing a little bit and I'm fine with it. No, no, we are in a situation where this 25-year-old model is constantly going to get fucked by some other males, going on drug trips, losing contact with Jonah Hill for days or weeks, and then coming back and inducing more jealousy in him by telling him the story of how much she's been on drugs and how she's been with other men. And asking him to accept this because I'm just part of surfing culture. That's her defense. It's surfing culture. I hang out with men. It's surfing culture. There's lots of men in the surf business. Well, you are not a dedicated female. You are not reproductive material because your men won't even be able to know the babies inside of you if they're from him. What else do we have here? He's posting examples and he's saying these surf pictures, I want you to remove them from Instagram. He says, I respect however you want to live your life. You only get one. But I'm sort of done with explaining myself. So he's asking, if you want to go on, you know, publishing these bait suit pictures on Instagram, you go on. But it will be without me. Now, is this exaggerated? We're talking about just really a bait suit picture. If you take the bait suit picture in isolation, it kind of sounds like he's an asshole. It's like, oh, well, a surfer in a bathing suit, it's not even particularly sexy. The resolution is not pretty high. It's a photo taken from far. It focuses more on the sports aspects of the surfing rather than the picture of her and her bathing suit. But I don't think that Jonah Hill was taking issue with the picture itself. He was taking issue with the fact that he was with a female who does everything in her power to make him jealous, who does everything in her power to send signals that she is not trustable. And at some point, when you're faced with someone not trustable, you have to impose arbitrary principles just to test if they're going to respect them. You know, if I'm stuck with someone who again and again I've told her, stop taking drugs, stop hanging out with these guys, stop this, that, and she keeps doing it. Well, you start by imposing arbitrary principles and testing her. Like, is she even capable of listening to me? Or is she so revolted in her inside? Does she have so much hate against men or whatever, against control, that she won't let me control anything? Well, that's what he did. And she answers here, tree removed, but I haven't removed the video yet. It is my best surfing video. Would you feel better if the cover frame was different? Any more specific ones that bother you? He says, yes, one that isn't of your ass in a tongue. She says, it's not a tongue, but okay. So he was taking issue that she was too displaying of her reproductive organs. Of course, if you're Jonah Hill, you are a successful actor in Hollywood. You're kind of a good catch, you know, no matter how ultimately ugly I find him. The fact is, when you accept being fucked by Jonah Hill, you should definitely be proud of this. And you've grabbed a lot of money. You've grabbed a lot of potential. It's okay for him to have a little slightly higher standards than the average male. Fix DSM says, damn, thought my standards were high. Rolling on floor laughing. Yeah, those are arbitrary requests, but they come in a context again. They come in a context where we'll see later, she was on drugs, she was hanging out with other guys, she was sleeping with other guys. So when it's in that context, I understand that the arbitrary request is really a way to try to set the woman back on track. It's like you go above board a little bit so that she just sets herself on a path of, I'm just going to listen to my man. And if she can't do that, then you'll know. You know, it's kind of a test of the woman. Fenrir says, I can hear Jonah's mom saying, you should have married a nice Jewish girl like your cousin. Yeah, exactly. That is certainly what's happening. We have a Jewish man from a classical Hollywood background coming in confrontation with the next generation, Sir Four, who's not particularly beautiful, by the way. People were pointing out she's a 7 at best. She's a 6 at best. I agree. She's a 6. It's like, let's look at her again. Like, this is not worth, you know, ruining your life over. This is not worth having to injure someone being on drugs, someone playing with your emotions, someone now publishing your private conversation as a way of vengeance. None of this is worth it. We have read this one. So she had deleted some, and then he says, good start. You don't seem to get it, but it's not my place to teach you. I've made my boundaries clear. You refuse to let go of some of them, and you've made that clear, and I hope it makes you happy. So that is Jonah Hill saying, well, okay, well, there you are. You've deleted two of those that I was requesting, and you can't even generalize my asking to you. My asking is, I don't want to see any of your side pussy on these pictures. And so he's like, I hope it makes you happy. I hope that holding on to that picture was so important to you that it's worth it for you to not get fucked by Jonah Hill, because this is what you're going to get. You're not going to get fucked by Jonah Hill. That is what he's saying. And it's totally fine. Totally fine. That is, look, I don't consent to our relationship if you don't consent to this. And it's not a way to extort her. It's a way to, this transaction is not interesting to me if you don't make these changes to the transaction. And if you don't make these changes to the since you haven't made these changes to the transaction, my answer is no, we're not together. That is absolutely fine. And never let the feminists win this one, because they are trying to basically disarm negotiating power from males. He was asking about her talking to her degenerate friends. Literally, you just tell them hello and then you leave the convo. I love how your therapist thinks that I suck. I literally am the best boyfriend on earth. You're right. We can't do surf social things or develop trust until you consider me and make decisions that give regard to our relationship. I have been vulnerable as possible, and I am telling you I am needing you to step up to the plate, which you can, I'm sure of it. But these losers don't get your time if you want me. Straight up, it's consideration. I respect your love of surfing, but I respect myself as well. And your love of surfing and being in those situations and lack of awareness are not mutually exclusive. This isn't me. I have my own issues that I own. If you want marriage and family, you can't use the 25 card. So she was saying, I'm just 25. Isn't it normal for a 25-year-old to hang out with all these surfer dudes? No, it's not! It's normal for a 25-year-old to be pregnant of her third child, staying by the side of her husband so that she can give birth. If you want marriage and family, you can't use the 25 card. Step up and cut shit. These people don't get your time or your kindness at the sacrifice of minds. That is absolutely fine. You know, I keep being absolutely stunned whenever I date these young women and they're not willing to deprive themselves of their social circles for the new husband that they've acquired. I'm willing to deprive them. I'm not going to go see a female friend of mine under any circumstance once I am with a woman. I'm not going to, and I have female friends. You know, if I hang out in pretty much any city of Canada or the US, there would certainly be persons that come from my past that I could send them an email and check if they're there. Hey, I'm going to go see this girl or that girl. And I'm not going to do this if I'm in a marriage, if I'm with a girlfriend. Why? Because I consider that it would be teasing. It would be provocating a reaction of jealousy for the person that's most important to me in exchange for someone who doesn't matter at all. If there's not going to be sex with this friend female of mine, what is the purpose of me being with them? No purpose. So I have to invest all of my time in family relationship that is caring for my wife. And then we have a network of friends with other children so that our children meet their children. But I'm not going to these network of friends alone. I'm bringing my wife with me so that it can be publicly seen. Look, this is not me trying to charm this other woman. It's just me trying to get the children to have a social network. The fact that we have to explain this and this early period of the relationship where women are very much attached to some social network, very often a bunch of degenerate, homeless, fucking retard trolls, whores, their parent, their fat nurse friend, their fat government employee friend, their disgusting feminist communist friend. And the fact that they need to keep contact with all of those are extremely red flags. They are extreme red flags. If they're not willing to say, hey, I got Jonah Hill, this is pretty much the best I'm going to score because I'm just a mindless surf whore on Instagram. Jonah Hill is pretty much the top of the top I'm going to score. So anything going forward that I do in my life is satisfy Jonah Hill. Just massage his balls. Just Jonah Hill's balls and penis is kind of the great thing in the sky, the only concern of my life. If you can't do this, then he has no reason to be interested in you because now you're attached to your network of friends. Why? Because you want to stay on the market, because you want to be with these guys of the surfing, because you want to keep these side sex relationships that make you feel like you have value in life. But you should feel from the sole fact that Jonah Hill is going out with you, that you have made it, that you don't need these things anymore. Go Away says, JF's internalized Jewish supremacy is showing up right now. I was kidding. But that's what she should do. That I wouldn't massage the balls of Jonah Hill, but she should. Take some accountability and operate with respect. That's simple. It's that simple. Because I'm tired of your attitude towards surf culture, that contest and that place because I deserve respect, period. Oh, by the way, one other red flag about this woman. A woman who has a therapist at 25, that's not a therapist. That's a communist pedophile friend. And this therapist's job will be to detach that woman from you. Oh, you know, he's controlling. She's going to insert all these Marxist priors in her head that are just meant to break the relationship. Therapist, forget it. There are no more therapists that are into keeping relationships together. You know, there was this classical marriage counselor type of people. They don't exist anymore. The new generation, even of those who call themselves marriage counselor, forget it. They are people who are there to exploit first the money and the time of this girl. And they will seed every possible idea in her head that the male you're with is not the right male. He's been too controlling. How do you feel about this control? Wouldn't you want to have a little space for you? Isn't he imposing too much requirements on you? Rodita Sid says, Jeff, they were talking exactly about this on Fresh and Fit with Nick too. The girls were saying that it's okay for those girls to go to the nightclub and drink, but those girls wouldn't like their men also go to a nightclub. Those girls know what the guy goes there for, yet they don't see the inequality. I know, and I've been dismissing of this part of the podcast, but that's because I had more important things to talk about in this podcast. So Jonah Hill continues, I have been more than patient, and then shit like this is still here. Fuck that contest, fuck that place, and fuck not respecting me. Always, in every situation within surf culture, or you don't get it. And you don't get me. It's hurtful and unacceptable to me. Get it? I don't know if you get it, or care, or give a shit about that shit more than me, even after Dr. Stern has said it loud and clear. Dr. Stern is the couple's therapist we were seeing once a week for about 4 months. Forget about couple therapist. If she needs a therapist, it's already over. Having reviewed all of this, there is nothing in there that is abusive. It's all a reaction to a surf whore. And surf whores just aren't marriage material because they have convinced themselves that they were in this very special place with basically a bunch of homeless males. And it's because they're homeless, they spend so much time on the beach that eventually they get to start surfing. And now they convince themselves that they are part of a culture. And it's not a failure of life to be just on a plank trying to take a passive wave coming from the sea. It's actually a culture and it's a thing and it's associated with drug taking and relaxed life and eating coconuts from nature. This is an example of Jonah Hill should have known a little sooner that this girl wasn't marriage material. And he shouldn't even have bothered because he spent months trying to text her about improving her behavior. And sometimes you're just in that mood as a man. I mean, I've been picking up just low-level street crack whores and trying to improve their life. And I have I have succeeded. And sometimes you're so perfectionist about it that you're willing to even take a couple of hits along the way. And you're willing that you're basically your benefactor action toward them. Be spit on and eventually even put you at risk of being exposed for being too controlling. But see, in this whole conversation about too controlling, no one is asking her to explain about what were you doing with these other surf dudes? What were you doing when you were taking these sexy pictures? Because if I'm Jonah Hill, I'm a Jew of Hollywood, I know exactly what's happening in these picture sessions. I know exactly that when you come back to me and say, oh, I met this excellent photographer, and oh my God, he's taking so much artsy pictures, and oh, look, That's his portfolio. I know exactly what happened. He was taking these pictures. He was sending you these sexy messages. Oh, you're sexy, my beauty. Oh, you're sexy. Oh, show me that ass, baby. And then eventually he fucked you. That's what happened. And no one in this whole conversation is talking about the fact that this woman was fucking other men while being on drugs and surfing. But there are, oh, Jonah Hill is controlling. Well, I wish we had a little more control, a little more Jonah Hill in the, not more Jewish actors in Hollywood. We have enough of those. But more men like Jonah Hill in the private sphere. Men like Jonah Hill who would simply direct females toward the right behavior, but they don't want to be directed anymore because they will frame everything you have to tell them to improve them as controlling. Well, you go ahead and live your free life, but it's going to be without the Jonah Hill Plaza. Oh, sorry for the coughing. I forgot to mute. Defenestrator says, Jeff would have been a great photographer. It's exactly like this. Naberius sends a super chat. He says, the woman at the airport suddenly yelling, kiss me, to the security guard yesterday reminded me of the young woman suddenly flashing her bottom at the neighborhood block party. Incredible, the real feelings and impulses that are hiding beneath the carefully constructed surface personality. Absolutely. If you've seen enough of these videos, you've concluded, okay, I'm looking at a bunch of apes. If you still are not looking at humans that way, you still haven't understood what it's about. You're missing something. Aquanote says on a super chat, thank you so much, you guys, for supporting the show. He says, the black woman showing displays of affection to Nick Fuentes after he said the things he said on that show is a comprehensive primer from A to Z on female sexual behavior. Yes, very interesting, isn't it? I actually have the pictures here. Oh, I'm taking a picture beside this young supremacist boy. Thank you, Nervous. Nick Fuentes, the most banned man on the internet. Please don't cancel me. You're not going to get canceled. You're a black woman. The summum of absolute absence of anything will ever be held against you. It's like, I could take a picture like this with Nick, and either he'd be in trouble for being with me, or I'd be in trouble for being with him. But you are a black woman. There is never someone who will come out and say, oh, she's a secret Nazi. And hopefully this fact, this asymmetry between you and I, hopefully it makes you understand that we live in an anti-white society. And that Nazi is a racial slur. It is an insult that is being used exclusively against white people. And you can make the very same action as a black woman. You're never going to get called a Nazi. Never, never, never. I'm trying to see how do I... Because I'm missing... How do I see the chats? How do I scroll through the chats to make sure that I've read all of them? Ah, there it is. I extended the screen. And yes, I have answered Cloud Warmer. I have answered... I have answered this one. And I have answered Shrigmamed. Well, thank you all for the support tonight. What else did we have in the news? The Twitter streaming experience is that we get a peak viewers of 30 to 40 viewers on the Twitter stream at the beginning, and then they slowly disappear, and no one comes to replace them. Whereas the Odyssey show keeps attracting people throughout the show, the Twitter stream is like, oh, there's just the moment you tweet it, And then it goes down and down. Someone has told me, Jeff, it's because when I realized you were live on Twitter, I got to Odyssey. Perhaps that's why. And perhaps there will be improvement. Elon Musk has said that he intends to improve onto the live streaming experience. And someone was pointing out there is a member of the Discord who is joining us. Hello, C. C is joining us.
Dave, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, let me try to put you on my other audio.
All right, no problem.
Okay, I think I got it switched. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Jay.
So what did you want to talk about tonight?
A lot of things, if you let me. I want to give my condolences for, you know, we witnessed the terroristic act in your studio, and sorry about all the things that have gone on since then.
All right.
We love you. We're here for you.
Okay.
So, one thing I wanted to ask, I got a bunch of things, but feel free to cut me off. It's been like a year since I've talked to you. I've talked to you once on here, but,
Okay.
One question is, so, you used to talk about, the reason you did daily streaming was for the algorithm. Is that, I mean, that's not still the case, right? Because you don't really care about Odyssey algorithm. So why do you still do daily streaming?
Well, I don't know that I've said that it was exclusively for the algorithm. It's mm-hmm. just that it's a lifestyle. And the thing is, the important shows, the one I would do, if I was to do only two or three shows per week, they could be bigger shows where I talk about a subject that is super interesting and that will generate many views. But I like to have those down shows also where I get to empty my heart on more secondary questions that will not attract a lot of viewer, but that will leave it on the public space. What is my view on this or that? And it leads to a product that, as long as it attracts enough people that it's worth speaking out about, then I'll do it. The way I see it is the small shows that I get, because I do many of them, they end up resolving questions for the big audience that really is interesting at hearing everything I have to say. And then we keep these shows with higher viewership when a big subject comes out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we love it. We love daily streaming. So,
all right. And yeah, it's also a thing that the internet life is daily. If you are every 2-3 days, there are many people who will bump onto your profile or your channel, and they will see there's no video and they will feel disappointment. So I'm like, if there's disappointment, I have to fix it. Because if I was a cook and you'd be disappointed 3 out of 4 times that you come to my restaurant, I would have to improve things as a cook. Well, I see the same way my involvement on the public space. If there's disappointment when someone comes in and sees Jeff doesn't have a show tonight, I'm sad. I'm going to have to watch Sargon of Akkad today. I have to fix this. I have to respond to the demand.
Mm-hmm. And you do it well. You are our man of the internet.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about, let's see here. I wanted to ask about this stupid question about reproduction. Okay, so I was thinking, like, if you, so we say it's called two people together, they're reproducing, they're making a child together. Let's say they're both white. Okay, you could say they're reproducing. Would you maybe only be able to say a mixed race couple is only producing and not necessarily reproducing, because it doesn't rhyme?
Well, not because it doesn't rhyme, but I see the point. Because a mixed race couple is creating an offspring that wasn't part of the types of the world and then comes into existence, in a way, it is a novel product of the world. And in a way, the genes that were farmed into exclusive lines of black and white could be seen as having led to a different product here. Yes, I guess you can say this, but I wouldn't, because I think that the definition of reproduction is very well set in stone. And anyways, the genes are reproducing, even in a mixed race child. So it really, if you had an individual-centered view of the world, you could say that it's not reproduction, that something new has been created. But because I have a gene-centered view of the world, the genes are still reproducing.
Mm-hmm. And on that same note, I have a question. I'm not a science guy, but so I've heard maybe on your show or maybe just on online somewhere that like if you have a child with a mixed race girl, for example, that offspring will be less. Basically, you have more, genetics. In a sense, it's almost your child, a child of just a random child of your race. If you just pull them off the street, would be more, in a sense, your child than genetically than the offspring you make with a mixed race or with a person of a different race.
I don't know about mixed race. I've never done the calculation, but it's true for if you reproduce with someone of another race, what you said is true. So your child will be less related to you than a random European. That is
okay.
True.
So, okay. That's very interesting. So if that's true, then would then having sex with a random white person be more incestual than having sex with your own mixed race offspring?
The thing about incestual is that it doesn't have a biological definition, and it's really not so much about the genes. Generally, incestual is the idea of reproducing or having sex with someone who is too close to you by family links. The term that you use would be fallaciously used more incestual. We are not in a continuum of incestuosity, and normally above the cousin level, we don't have considerations, or at least the second or third or fourth cousin, there will be a limit at which after that, we don't call things incest. And I wouldn't call two white people having sex together incest. Of course, it doesn't make sense because the whole conception of incest, if it has any natural evolutionary meaning, it's about reproducing with people who are likely to have to share your recessive disorders. And that matters at the cousin, maybe second cousin, third cousin level, but it doesn't matter at the whole of Europe level, obviously, or we wouldn't have the genetic pool that we have that has successfully bred for so many millennia.
That makes sense. Thank you for that. I had an idea I wanted to ask, run by you. So what if it's, so Ted K, what if it's, the answer is not, to move away from technology or whatever, abandon technology, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But what if it is really, keeping all we have to do is keep women away from technology.
That is very interesting. I had never thought about this, but it's kind of it's almost the Muslim approach, although the Muslims tend to be anti-technology. Well, they tend to be a little more technology doubtful, both in the female and the males. But certainly, you know, I don't see much Muslim females on social media, but I see plenty of Muslim males on social media. So in a way, they have accomplished kind of what you suggest there. It's very interesting. And perhaps, you know, perhaps it wouldn't just fix the woman's side, but it might fix the male side of the use of technology. Like, would technology be bad for males if there weren't Instagram whores and Pornhub and that kind of thing? Perhaps technology would be better for males also. It's a very interesting idea. I had never thought about it. I think it makes sense, but it's not implementable in Western civilization in the current state of, you know, freedom.
I do want to note, though, it is seen in the Amish community to a limited extent, from what I hear. So apparently, for example, men are allowed to use mirrors, but women are not. And also, Amish are allowed to use quite a few technologies for business things. For example, they'll have little phone booths that they can use, but apparently only the men are allowed to use them. So,
very interesting.
It's being, yeah.
I mean, if you don't allow mirrors to females, perhaps there would be an advantage here that is obtained from perhaps female self-monitoring is bad. Them being conscious of their beauty or not beauty may be a source of evil in our society.
Oh, absolutely. I think it is. Yeah, I think they constantly feed up. They're constantly getting appraisals of themselves. They want to know where they're at in on the market. That's like the most valuable data to them. And they get it. Now they can get it so easily through probably the most efficient method is just open your Tinder and see how many likes or whatever you're getting.
Yeah.
Let's see here. A few different things. I want to talk about or ask about the yay question. So we know that Nick, you know, had his had his journey with yay, and that seems to have dissolved for now. It's all been very interesting, but you know, we love Nick, and Nick is doing his own things now. It's all great. I had called you about a year ago, and I'm the guy who like ranted about contracts, oaths. I think oaths are the root, the root ill, because a lot of reasons. But Jesus says so. That's one of the reasons. It's funny that and Ye says it's funny. Ye will be like either Jesus said so or Jesus said no, and I'm like, and it's so clear. Jesus literally says, swear no oaths at all. It's very clear. But then like all the pastors and stuff, they'll all say, oh no, that's not what he means. He just means be careful about the ones you take.
Get to the point of the question with yeah, because my audience are high IQ, impatient wolves of the intellectual world.
Do you not think that the whole Ye endeavor into politics was, or his whole endeavor to, you know, state the JQ or whatever you want to say on the public forum was doomed from the start because he had a doomed premise, which was his whole argument was these contracts. He said these contracts in Hollywood, they are basically I'm just going to lay it out. He said that these contracts are too Jewish, but what Ye either doesn't understand or refuses to understand, or this is my opinion, but contracts are Jewish. And I don't think you'll agree with that. So it was doomed from the start. Contracts are Jewish. So saying they're too Jewish, of course, Jews are going to be the best at contracts because they're the masters of them.
Well, I think you try to take an idea that you hold on to dearly, that contracts are Jewish. I don't even know historically, could we trace the first contract to be Jewish? Probably not, because simply to me, contracts are much wider. And if you go back to Mesopotamia, there were people working for little tokens. And these tokens, they were working to do something with wheat, collect the harvest or whatever, with a big farmer that was owning a lot of land. And they would collect these tokens, and these tokens would give them a right to claim part of the harvest, but in a year from now or in 6 months from now. And these tokens were representing a kind of future possession that you've already won, that you've acquired, but where the management of the stocks and the fact that things are perishable was solved by these first tokens, which are kind of the ancestor of money. And also, you could argue, the ancestor of contracts. Now, there were no Jews in Mesopotamia. We're talking about an era before Judaism was even a thing. So I would reject the idea that contracts are Jewish. That being said, I don't even think anyways that Kanye's or Ye's statement was this. That wasn't the premise of his involvement. It wasn't that the contracts are too Jewish. It's that the contracts are forms of exploitation of artistic work that he feels are not fair. And that is a legitimate. It's not a doomed premise. It's a legitimate premise. Whether you agree with it is a subjective thing, but he wants to start a subjective conversation about, is it unfair exploitation? I mean, if I was to make $1 billion and I have you as my worker and you do all the work and I get you to work 12 hours a day and eventually out of that $1 billion, I'm giving you only $1. You could go out there on the public space and say, hey, we have to stop these contracts. They're not fair. JF is making $1 billion from me and I'm making only $1 and I'm the one who has done all the work. And then there could be a public discussion about what would be a fair amount. That's what Ye has tried to initiate. It's not exactly as you frame it, but you have this kind of brand and you've done it with the Hoats before. You try to take the world as it is and fit it in your obsessions. Like you had this obsession with Hoats and you've basically fit the entire world to Hoats and your understanding of the Christian message about Hoats. And I think you just did it again here with your analysis of Kanye. You have to be careful. You are trying too hard to fit things that don't fit because you're that kind of theoretical guy, which is a very powerful brain to have, you know, to be able to generate a theory and then see what of the empirical world fits with it. But you are trying a little too hard. You should put some boundaries on your willingness to compress something from reality into an abstract form.
Hmm. I don't think I need the boundaries. I think I'm doing good, but I'll take it into account.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right. I have to be added toward the end of the show. So is there any last comment you wanted to add?
Sound of Freedom, the movie that came out, you know, the one about like child trafficking. I saw it and it was pretty lame. So,
okay. Well, I'm going to have to watch it, but good to know that I can expect the cringe.
Okay. Thanks, JF.
Bye-bye.
All right.
pretty fascinating. This guy, I'm like giving him a tip to be a little more scientific in his approach. And you don't want, as a scientist, you don't want to tell yourself a story that is abstract, and then try to fit harshly the world. You have to let yourself be influenced by the world. You have to accept when reality collides with your vision. And I believe that, for example, Mesopotamia tokens totally undermine any conception that contracts are Jewish. Now, contracts may be a popular thing in Jews. They may be, they may have been used by Jews a lot in their cultural development. I don't know about this, but to think contracts are Jewish is to start with a false premise here, in my view. But this guy seems so stubborn that it's like, oh no, I'm doing good. Thanks, Jeff. Okay, my opinion and my comment to him was rejected. Well, so be it. I mean, he can be whoever he wants. If he wants to be that guy, this kind of hyper-abstract pursuer, it's fine. I mean, it's a different type of personality. Naberius sends a super chat. He says, the woman at this one I read. Did I read? Yes, I read, and it's about female behavior. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, when I was first dating my wife, she got a call from an ex while we were at a Christmas party. She took one look at me and said, that's my ex. I'm sorry. I'm blocking his number right now and telling him to stop. I told her later, if she didn't do that, we wouldn't be married. Some women get it. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was very honorable of hers. And yes, women of quality may exist. I do not deny their existence in principle. We have Eddie. Hello, Eddie. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing? I'm headed toward the end of the show, but do you have a quick thing you wanted to discuss?
I think one of the most important things I've ever heard on your show was maybe a year or two ago. Where you had mentioned the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but not just in the, I don't know, just generic sort of philosophy kind of idea, but thinking about it in terms of a hierarchy of life and then liberty and happiness is sort of like an ordered. I found that profound. It doesn't seem like a lot, but I found it profound. And especially when you consider that if you think of right-wing people as having this hierarchy of values that are finite and essential, whereas you realize left-wing people, if you had to describe their values, it's nothing. If anything, it's rejection of those three values.
Or the pursuit of happiness only, and in a very short-term way.
I don't know. If I had to phrase it as a question, I would ask them, where did you get the idea to think of that in terms of a hierarchy?
I got this idea from me trying to develop a response to Sam Harris and his moral landscape, where he says the only thing that we should care about is the well-being of conscious creatures. And I was like, how do I phrase my opposition to this idea? Well, certainly the well-being of conscious creature is not all that matters. And I tried, how do I challenge this kind of axiomatic view of Sam Harris? And I decided, well, one way you can cleverly show a kind of contradiction on the face of it, of the moral landscape, is the fact that there you always have to choose between at least two things. That is, if you care about the well-being of conscious creatures, you're going to also have a decision to make about the number of conscious creatures, no matter what. Because if you're a reproductive agent, the question will come out of, okay, well, Is it better to have seven minds that are that happy or five minds that are so much more happy? Suppose that I had 7 billion people relatively happy, or suppose I would have a single person, but that is super, super happy, like a nirvana state. What would be the most desirable? And eventually, I realized that the best way to phrase it is that there is an order that you have to give to these things, that eventually the number of people on Earth will come to clash with the happiness of people, and you're going to have to choose between one of them. And also, there's the whole field of neuroeconomics, in which I've actually been trained because that was the field of my postdoc. And in that field, we talk of ordered preferences as a very important concept. The fact that, okay, you can prefer 4 drops of apple juice to 2 drops of raspberry juice. And there is such a thing as value, a kind of an abstract conception of value that stores things in an ordered way across the space of choices.
Wow, okay.
All right. Was that all you had to ask tonight?
In terms of that strain of thought that when you mentioned that years ago and I heard it, what it started in me is the closest I've come to fully understanding, or I guess, let me put it like this, the best mental model I've sort of reached is understanding life, liberty, in that order, and then happiness is basically non-essential, but obviously the next one.
Yeah,
but importantly, please, after liberty and happiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then on the other side of that, to understand leftism as a, in terms of the Nietzsche idea of the slave morality and master morality. I guess to conclude, you could say the life, liberty, happiness is the essence of master morality. Or at least in terms of the Western thought, you know, the modern, Renaissance era and forward.
Yeah. I would have to read about this because Nietzsche and the master slave, I've read the segments of it, but not to the point where I could tell you you're right or you're wrong on this. I have no idea. I do have to read Nietzsche a little more. All right. Thanks for your call, Eddie. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good one.
Well, what a creepy voice. I mean, sometimes someone can call us and there's people sleeping, maybe babies, maybe parents, maybe girlfriends. You wouldn't want these people to know that you're watching JF, NSFB, Not Safe for the Bed. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I sent a super chat earlier that you missed right before the first call. Oh, sorry about this. Doubting Thomas was saying, I know you like embedded systems, so here is an old sophomoric idea of mine. Hell exists in a space where the limit of the nth derivative of energy with respect to a parameter where n goes to infinity is less than zero. It is instability and being out of equilibrium beyond comprehension. Oh la la, this is going to be a complex joke slash metaphor slash statement to understand. Hell exists in a space where the limit of the nth derivative. So the nth derivative of energy. So a derivative is when you take a function at one point and you look at the difference from another time point. That gives you a kind of slope, a kind of idea of the progression. So the nth derivative. So derivative, when you do many of them, you get from position to speed to acceleration. So the nth derivative is the nth degree of derivation that you can apply to something with respect to a parameter where n goes to infinity. So you're telling me pursue these derivatives onto energy forever until infinity. Well, what are you going to get? You're going to get kind of the Euler's number. You're going to get some kind of asymptomatic behavior where further derivation stabilizes the energy. And then you tell me is less than zero. So you're telling me that constantly deriving gives me a negative number. Deriving over deriving over deriving it gives me a negative number. Doubting Thomas says, JF, it typically always goes to zero. Okay, so if it doesn't converge to zero, then what? Then I have an unstable system. And so he says, it is instability and being out of equilibrium beyond comprehension. So you're telling me that hell, is a random walking rectangular function?
Thank you.